Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined again by my friend Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up? Great to be back on.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
It has been a while, but it's all good.
So we're talking about Skinwalker. It's a complicated episode to discuss because, you know, I watch a lot of science fiction, and regardless of the franchise, Star Trek, The X-Files, the list goes on, there's always, like, the Native American mysticism that they try to incorporate, and they always try to be very respectful, but it just comes across often as condescending. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Lance?
Oftentimes, yeah, I agree with that. In this episode, I'm not sure, especially like given the current events that are happening also. Like there are a couple of lines in here that were just like, oh, wow. Oops.
Yeah. So like I don't know about you, but I thought about this for a while. I was like, should I even bring this up, current events? But you're right. There's a couple of lines in this episode that are like, ooh, they're right at you. And they ping on the current events radar. And I can't not mention it. So this episode obviously is about, you know, they discovered the infamous Kawachi Caves in Smallville. This is a huge episode as far as Smallville mythology goes.
Yes.
But the crux of it is classic American Manifest Destiny encroaching on Native American lands.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Kawachi tribe is a fictional tribe. It's not an existing tribe. But they have land that Luther Corp claims to own and wants to build a business complex on. All right.
It'll bring thousands of needed jobs.
I know, right? It's like, oh, gosh, Martha. There are shades of gray here, obviously. Which Martha's actually in a very interesting position in this episode because mm-hmm. she works for Lionel, but Clark's all into, you know, this because the caves tie into Clark's history and his future, perhaps, which is never really paid off on, I think, as far as the show goes. But I guess we're talking around here. Let's just get to it. So right now is, you know, this is not a current event show. You know, this is not a political show, but I do feel it right to at least mention the fact that we have a big crisis going on in America right now, and it's about the Dakota Access Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And this has actually gotten my attention more because, I like to follow these off the beaten path stories and stuff the mainstream media doesn't cover. And unfortunately, this is a story that the mainstream media is not covering very much because for various reasons, mainly because, look, the unfortunately, mainstream media, a lot of it is controlled by corporations, right? And there's a lot of money and lots of backroom interest going on, right, that controls the media that we assimilate as far as like the big networks go, right? And so, and this is shady stuff because, you know, corporations are pushing for this pipeline and nobody wants to offend their sponsors, right? So everybody's just trying to play it safe, and we're going to talk about, you know, fluff, right, instead of like real civil rights issues that are going on. So, you know, if you haven't heard about this, which you very well may have not, you know, basically it's a company called Dakota Access, and they want to, they're doing it right now. Mm-hmm. They're building a crude oil pipeline through North Dakota, and that goes through Sioux Nation land. And this is, you know, contested land that, you know, back when there was lots of disagreements about, you know, whose land was where and all this stuff, and there was lots of land that was, you know, contested, but a lot of the times it didn't really become a problem. Go ahead, Lance.
Well, it didn't become a problem because they were just forcibly removed. So that's part of it. And then they were just kind of relegated to a certain area. So,
well, I guess what I meant by that was it didn't really become a problem. It doesn't become a problem until, how do I say this? The white man, so to speak, right, wants to
not
use
so to speak.
Wants to, well, yeah, right, but wants to use the land, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, for a couple hundred years now, this hasn't really been an issue, right? Because no one has wanted to use this land. So it was like, sure, that's yours until we want it, right? And now we want it. It's like, yeah, well, that's ours now. And it's like, no. Go back to the treaties and look. You know, we signed treaties, right?
It's history repeating itself because the Native Americans were told that multiple times as the U.S. continued to expand. So they're like, oh, yeah, we won't use this. But then it was like, no, we want all of it. So they would just continue to force them out.
Yeah, just abuse of power, right?
Yes.
Basically is what it is. And it's very unfortunate. And So, but the biggest problem though is like, well, why does this matter, right? Why are all these people protesting? I mean, you have Bernie Sanders who spoke out against it. We have celebrities like Susan Sarandon and Shailene Woodley mm-hmm. talking about it. So, why are people protesting? What's the big deal, right? And well, the big deal is it's a crude oil pipeline, and they're going to drill it underneath the main water source for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Okay, and so if that leaks, then their entire water source is contaminated and ruined.
Yes, and then we have another Flint, Michigan.
Right, exactly. They always leak, right? Don't tell me that it's not going to leak, you know? And it's not like, oh, it just leaked a little bit. If it leaks a little bit, your water is still ruined, right? So this is a huge deal. And so they've been protesting this for since its inception, really. And things are really starting to come to a head. There's protesters. Protesters are being treated like garbage. You know,
yes, people, they are.
They're shooting. It's the winter now, and it's negative degree weather out there, and they're shooting water hoses at them, and they're using excessive force, the police force there for peaceful protesters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like whoa, like this is still going on. Like you said, Lance, like, history is repeating itself. Have we learned nothing? If you guys are not aware of all this stuff that's going on, the Dakota Access Pipeline, or you've only heard a little bit about it and you want to know more about it, I would highly recommend you go check out the Young Turks on YouTube, because they have an entire just series of videos. They've sent out reporters and they interview the people that are there. James Cromwell, one of the famous actor, he's out there as well. They just had an interview with him a couple days ago. So just got activists that are going out there being like, hey guys, this is wrong. Please pay attention. So anyway, I recommend going to YouTube, going to the Young Turks, looking up Dakota Access Pipeline, and finding out more about it. That's going to be your most non-partisan, non-biased, filter-free, here's how it is information source on this stuff. So anyway, I feel like we should mention that, because mm-hmm. not that I planned this at all, right? But just us talking about this episode,
it just so happens
now.
Yeah,
I mean, this
so
is
happens.
Going on, and I feel like because I've been anyone I talk to when we're sitting around talking and we talk about current events, I always bring this up because I feel like this is a big deal that no one is talking about. So like, hey, I have a podcast, I have a voice here, so I feel like I can at least raise awareness about something that people aren't aware of. So. It's just the corporate greed in America, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm not a tree hugger by any means, right? But I'm just being real here, man. There's social injustice being done. Not just the actual pipeline, but the way the people that are protesting and being treated is just unacceptable. So
I agree.
Anyway, there's really no good way to segue back into talking about Smallville from that.
There is.
But I felt like we should address that off the top. So
yes.
We may now continue, Lance, with our previously scheduled discussion on Skinwalker.
Let's get it.
Which is called Skinwalker, by the way, singular, not Skinwalkers. I have talked to Hulu. Well, how pretentious does that sound, right?
Pretty pretentious. Not going to lie.
Well, I have brought it to Hulu's attention that they have the, because, as we all know, Hulu has all Smallville down. We're very thankful for it. But, hey, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving last week. Let's be thankful that Smallville is on Hulu, the entire series.
Here.
But for whatever reason, this episode's title has always been...
Plural?
Yeah. Well, no, it's always been, there's not a consistent listing of it. Like, Neil Bailey on the Superman homepage, who reviews every episode of Smallville, who I cite and link to every week, he has a Skinwalkers, plural.
Interesting.
And then the actual episode listing is... Skinwalker, singular. And then Hulu has it as Skinwalkers, plural. So it's like, who is getting... Like, I want to know, like, where is the master list that WB sent out to people? Like, what does it say, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, my response that I got from Hulu support was, thanks for clarifying and letting us know. We've reached out to our team with the information to investigate.
It's like, yeah, they're not going to do anything.
To investigate? Like... And then, of course... Smallville, the official companion, season 2, available wherever books are sold, has it as Skinwalker. So that's what we're gonna call it, unless that's what we're calling it here. So that's just how it's gonna be. So anyway, so some of the inception of this episode, again, this trivia comes from Smallville, the official companion, season 2. So Kenneth Biller recalls about this episode, quote, "It introduced the caves and opened up our mythology. It delved into Clark's origins, and he finds out that maybe people from his planet had been to Earth before, giving him some connection to the tribe." And then Al Goff goes on to say, it starts to lay the seeds that Clark wasn't sent here by happenstance, which gets played out more later. Yeah, that's true, Al.
It does. which, you know, when we talk about this later as we get into the episode, but like, I think that was such missed opportunity, and there's a lot of potential with story elements like that, but it never really was like hit upon.
Well, let's go ahead. Well, especially in this episode, so let's just go ahead and talk about it now. I mean, so what are your thoughts on that, Lance?
I kind of liked it. Like, I kind of liked the idea of Kryptonians had come here before and were kind of like scouting out planets, you know, looking at other life that they were explorers. Kind of like how Man of Steel had mentioned and made the Kryptonians out to be, how they had been here before. But it also kind of reminds me of like, and I'm pretty sure Justice League took this from Smallville, but they just did it better, where they had like the Thanagarians. Like, they were here during ancient Egypt times, and they were worshipped as gods, and there was a mythology there that the Thanagarians were gods on the planet and then left later. I kind of liked that idea, and I was kind of hoping that Smallville would do the same, but they never did.
Well, Lance, you know, ancient astronaut theorists believe.
Oh, take a drink.
Look, guys, if you've never watched Ancient Aliens, it's perfect guilty pleasure television. I love all that stuff. And it does actually, like you were saying, Lance, all it ties into all that. It's basically that as a documentary. It's Ancient Aliens is a History Channel show. It started out as a documentary series, like a, you know, 6-part documentary, and then it became an actual show. And yep. So the longer it ran, the more ridiculous, like they had, the more deeper they had to dig for like connections. Look, once again, I'm all about fringe science, conspiracy theory, cryptozoology,
the
UFOs,
is aliens, extraterrestrials.
Ancient Aliens is the UFOs, as Finding Bigfoot is the Bigfoot. I like the fields, right? I find them fascinating, but they give those fields a bad name. Okay. but they are still fun to watch. So yes, I would love to have an episode of Ancient Aliens talking about the Kawachi Caves and Naman and Sageth. Not Sageth.
Yeah, I know. Sageth.
but we'll get into that later. I don't know. For Kryptonians, you're right. Good call out on Man of Steel. Because before this, actually, Smallville was the first realized version of Superman that implied that Kryptonians had been to Earth before. I know for the Brett Ratner film, I believe the J.J. Abrams script, back in the early 2000s when we were in that great Superman drought of cinematic Superman, there were plans that Kryptonians, I mean, it was part of the story that Kryptonians had been to Earth before and that kind of thing. And I don't know, I'm kind of two minds on it. I like what you're saying about like the Thanagarians and all that. I think that's cool for other aliens to come to Earth, but for Kryptonians too, because Clark is so unique, you know, Kryptonians is so unique that I think it cheapens the fact that, I don't know, it somehow cheapens the fact that he's alone, and I don't know, it's all in the execution, I guess.
Well, because they continued to botch it, though, that's the thing.
Yes.
Especially when it got to, you know, to Relic, or as I like to refer to it as, you know, Smallville 1961.
Yeah, well, you're going to be on that episode for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, okay, there you go, perfect, case in point. Thank you, Lance. I'm cool with maybe the idea of, like, you know, centuries ago, Kryptonians first scouted this Earth, right?
Yeah.
Planted a flag here, so to speak, and then went back and never came back. But as the series, as Smallville progresses, it's like, yeah, Jor-El was here, and his brother was here, and Lara was here, and Kara was here, and they're going through these portals, and we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but it's all good. It's all good. Who said that? Kimbo Slice, I think?
He might have.
I think Jim Rohn used that quote. Yeah, R.I.P. Yeah. Kimbo. So, there were a lot of fan theories about the caves back when they first happened, right? Because it's like, man, because how would they know the future, right? So, exactly. I know one of my favorite fan theories about the caves, and this is like, you know, based off this one episode, Skinwalker, right? I mean, ignoring all the stuff that comes afterward. As I've said, I used to frequent the Krypton site forums and all that, and there were some fan theories, and people were saying, you know how red kryptonite affects Clark differently every time? Maybe the next time he gets exposed to red kryptonite, he's Superman, and he gets sent back in time 500 years, right? And he tells the Native Americans the story of his life, right? And then he has his little... And then one of the coolest things that I ever saw anyone postulate about Smallville was the fact that, you know how Superman, he has his belt buckle, which I like the red underpants and I like the belt, okay? Uh-huh. So he has his belt buckle, right? But imagine if, like, the belt buckle for Smallville Superman was the octagonal shape, and he keeps the key.
That's cool.
And he keeps the key in there, right? And so, I like that. And then he uses it to access the ship or the fortress or whatever, right? That's his key, right? That way, like, Lex Luthor can't just wander into the fortress. Mm-hmm. So I always thought that was the coolest idea, and it always stuck with me.
I like that. Like, now I really want, like, you know, Superman from now on to, like, have a belt with an octagonal key.
It's a common shape, Clark.
No, it's not, Jonathan.
It's not, Jonathan. Yeah, and then I was thinking, like, he would just leave that impression in the wall, right? And then leave, yeah. Right? Instead of it being, like, some access panel. But anyway, like I said, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But it's hard to just talk about so much sprung from this episode. It's hard to, like,
yes.
Self-contain it. Because this kind of conversation doesn't really fit in the episode discussion proper. Agreed. It's more for stuff down the line. So we're trying to just get it done off the top here. I don't know. Ultimately, an intriguing idea never quite paid off. And then often used as a deus ex machina, right? The caves, uh-huh. Right? It's like, oh, we got to go down in the cave and fix the problem. I mean, it gives them a different set to go to. So much to discuss in this episode, clearly. So we better get to it, Lance.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about Skinwalker.
According to the legend, a man came from the stars and fell in love with the mother of our people. Out of that forbidden affair, the Kawachi people were born.
Do you know which star he came from?
The legend only tells us that he left one day and flew back into the sky, promising he would send another.
And that'd be this Naman person you've been talking about, right?
Yes. Of course, that was 500 years ago. He's a little late. You're not from around here, are you, Clark?
Actually, Clark is adopted.
These symbols seem to make up some sort of alphabet.
That's the really weird part.
Our people don't have a written language. I've seen a symbol here or there on artifacts, but never in a pattern before.
Oh, so you don't know what they mean?
Grandpa studied a lot of ancient languages. I'm sure with some time he can decipher what the symbols are.
If Luther doesn't get at them before we do.
Mom, maybe you can talk to Mr. Luther.
You know Lionel Luther?
No, him. Mom's his executive assistant.
Well, Clark, I'll do what I can, but it isn't that easy. The situation isn't that black and white. That complex will create 1,000 desperately needed jobs.
And you think that's more important than these caves?
So, does anyone want coffee with their pie?
Skinwalker is the 10th episode of Smallville's second season and aired on November 26, 2002, with a story by Mark Warshaw and teleplay by Brian Peterson and Kelly Saunders, and it was directed by Marita Grybiak. So this episode starts with construction wrapping up. I made note of the company that was doing the construction.
With an X.
Constructs with an X. So they're finishing their day of construction on a new Luther Court Plaza being built in Smallville. And Foreman is closing up. All the construction guys leaves. He locks up and he turns around. Jump scare. It's a Native American guy right behind him. And you know it's a Native American guy because of the music, all right?
Yep.
By Mark Snow. Mark Snow, our friend from The X-Files, who has similar Native American music in that show. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like, it just, they lay it on really thick, don't they?
They do. But, you know, it's, I don't know, sometimes like it's some composers really make a good job, do a good job of invoking that spirit or doing a good job of making sure that music is respectful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's blatant. This episode, the music kind of walked that fine line.
No, you're right. It does. It walks the line. That's a good way to put it, Lance. So the character here is Joseph Willebrook. And he's played by Gordon Tootoosis. And he has a long list of credits. He's been in Legends of the Fall.
Oh, really? That's right. He is in Legend of the Fall. My mom loves that movie.
He was in Pocahontas. He's been in an episode of The X-Files, one of the worst episodes of The X-Files, I might add. But just, you know, has a long list of credits, often playing, you know, the Native American wise man. But the guy, he does a good job, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a lot of presence to him, I believe, what this guy's saying.
Yeah.
And he's a returning guest star as well.
He comes back.
Yeah, he comes back in season 3. So, but anyway. He basically tells the foreman, and these are the lines that started to like, current events, right? Because he's like, this is our land, and you are using it for your purposes, and you're going to desecrate, and like, oh my gosh, this is current events, right?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he basically tells the foreman, like, hey man, I'm not going to be responsible for the consequences if you desecrate this land. And then he leaves. So I don't, what does that mean, right? That sets up something's going to happen to this guy.
Well, obviously he's the only one working there.
Well, you know, is that how it works at a construction site? Like, the foreman lives there in a trailer and everybody else goes home? I guess. I'm not sure. But we get this. It's kind of a cool time lapse, something that we don't get in Smallville, I don't think, ever before or since. It's this wide shot of the construction site, and we see the sun go down and the guy go into his trailer and he comes out. And I thought that was a pretty cool shot, and just to convey the passage of time. Since we care so much about the passage of time on this podcast, the foreman comes out. It's, you know, late at night at this point. He hears some noises. He starts to get a little freaked out because he's hearing noises left and right. And I couldn't tell. And this is a lot of things talking about the music again. A lot of places in this episode, I couldn't tell like what was supposed to be music and what was supposed to be like sound effects.
Well, sometimes it's both.
Yeah, that's true. The foreman starts to freak out, so he goes to his truck and he's digging through his stuff, and he gets a flare gun out. I guess that's his only means of protection. So he gets his flare gun, and then he gets jumped by this albino wolf, right?
Yeah.
And the wolf starts, you know, attacking him and biting him, and he shoots off the flare gun, and it goes up in the sky. And then they had established earlier there was, like, just a big tank of gas.
Yeah.
Because he was filling up the cars and trucks with gas. And so the flare gun falls back down on the canister or the, you know, tank or whatever, blows up, right? And the wolf runs off. And then the wolf just kind of sits there and watches everything.
And watches
explodes.
It.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah, and then it goes into the opening credits, which I thought was like kind of odd because it was just kind of like, I don't know, it seemed like some kind of wasted dead time there. Like, I figured that they would have, like, you know, shifted over to, you know, somebody save, right, like, as like the flare was coming.
Well, you wanted to see that the wolf was admiring a job well done,
I guess.
But then of course there's the howl, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you just pull it back a little bit, guys. Pull it back. So then we come back from the opening credits, and it's Clark and Pete on dirt bikes.
Yeah, whose dirt bikes are those? And we know it's not the Kents because they can't afford that.
Or the Rosses, right? They got five kids, man.
It's true.
It's the most bizarre thing. One of the most bizarre. See, the weird sci-fi stuff doesn't faze me in this show. It's the weird everyday stuff that phases me. Like, where do these dirt bikes come from?
Hey, but at least they're wearing helmets.
Least they are wearing helmets. I'm shocked in red that they didn't make Clark wear a helmet, right?
Yeah,
and I think the writers were shocked too. I think in the commentary they talk about that. Jeff Loeb's like, all right, well, we won that battle somehow. Because he's being bad, kids. Don't be like bad Clark. He doesn't wear a helmet. But of course, it's hilarious to see, you know, 25-year-old Tom Welling
wearing
a helmet and just on this dirt bike, and him and Pete. You know, him and Pete, as they always do, just riding around on their dirt bikes. It's just such a bizarre plot device to get to the caves, right? Like, I'm sure something else, I don't care what they could have done anything else. And we never see these dirt bikes again, right?
Ever again.
It's just clearly for this one specific scene, we needed Clark to, like, hit a log.
And then fall.
And then fall through the ground. And, like, I I'm going to say because he's Superman, that's how he, like, broke through the ground. Like, I don't know. But the construction nearby is weak in the ground. I don't know. But, yeah, so him and Peter are racing, and then, as we said, he hits a log or something, flies off the bike, flies, like, into some soft ground, falls into a cave at this point. Then we see, like, a rock slide in the background as well, which implies that him falling in there opened up this section of the cave, right? That's what I tried to take from it because
that makes the most sense.
Yeah, because a couple of seconds later, Kyla comes in.
Don't you mean Lana?
Yeah. Okay. Like Clark, for God's sake, man! I know that you're in love with Lana, but every girl is not Lana. Yeah. So Clark, I guess he's a little disoriented, right? When he wakes up, and Kyla walks up to him, and he's like, Lana. Like, stop doing that. He does it later in the season to Chloe, and it breaks her heart.
Sure does.
Clark, come on, man. But anyway, she has dark hair, all right?
And wasn't it, like, you know, last week exactly that he was just like, let's just be friends, and he was seem pretty satisfied about it?
Look, Smallville's very hit or miss on these things. We know that. I mean, 2 weeks ago, his little brother, for all intents and purposes, dies. Are we ever going to talk about that again? No.
Nah.
Are we ever going to talk about Kyla again? No.
Nah.
Spoilers. anyway, Kyla, she's played by Tamara Feldman. And according to IMDb, this was her first on-screen credit.
Interesting.
Does it show, Lance?
A little.
Like, beautiful girl.
Yeah, check.
Acting, like I said, I can tell it's her first on-screen credit, right? But she's been in other things like Jake 2.0, Supernatural, Boston Legal, Monk, CSI New York,
Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl. Yeah, Gossip Girl, her longest guest star stint there, A Woman Called Job, which is, which is, I guess, is some kind of Hallmark movie, I assume. But she's still working, so good for her. And, you know, like I said, she was fine in this episode, but once I saw that this was her first acting role, I was like, okay, yeah, I can see it.
It makes sense.
But anyway, I want to look up more of these because she's, like I said, she's a beautiful girl, so I'm going to see her in some more stuff. So maybe I'll go watch some Gossip Girl or perhaps some One Tree Hill. Like, man, she really did the CW circuit.
She sure did. Yeah. OTH, that's my show.
Most of these Smallville guest stars go through what I call the WB, the CW circuit, and it turns out very well for some of them. I mean,
yes,
Smallville is responsible for several leading actors in series, and the WB and the CW. I mean, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, Frequency. The leads of all these shows were first guest stars on Smallville, so
that's
a great way to start your career. But anyway, Kyla here, she comes and inspects Clark, shocked that he's not hurt or anything. And Clark says, oh, I was just lucky, I guess. It's just like he literally says that. Like, that's what I joke about him saying. He literally says that. But anyway, she says that she's in the caves doing research for her grandfather and is shocked to discover this story of Numan on the wall here, which implies that this had been a blocked-off area and Clark falling through the roof of the cave had shaken it open.
Yeah.
Although, do you think all the construction going on would have done that, right?
That's part of it.
Because also, the construction causes a cave-in later. In this very same episode. So, they find the story of Numan, and she gives us a brief flyover of what it is. And, yeah, it's the story of Superman. It's what it is. So, Clark is very intrigued by this, obviously. And he immediately makes the connection between Numan and himself. And
yes.
As they're leaving, she's like, oh, we have to go tell my grandfather. He's going to be very excited. So, as they're leaving, Clark stops and he sees the octagonal keyhole on the wall. And there we go.
You know, I also like how Clark he keeps his shirt open the entire time because she checked him like when he fell through and when they first met, and then he just keeps it open the whole time.
Again, WB, CW. But hey, you know, if Tom only put a lot of hard work in looking that way, so I'm not going to fault him for showing off his physique, right?
Yeah.
So then we mentioned it earlier. It's such a funny line here. Clark obviously goes home and tells the Kents about this, and Jonathan's like, it's an octagon. It's a very common shape, Clark.
Is it really?
Okay. A stop sign is an octagon. Tell me one other thing in life that you have seen that is an octagon.
Yeah, the answer is the key to Clark's spaceship. Like, this is the only thing.
And then, you know, Clark pulls out the ship's heart from the pilot, right? And I call it the ship's heart because that's what Clark calls it, I believe, in Rosetta when he finally learns how to speak Kryptonian, because it has no name right now. It's just a thing that Jonathan pulled out of the ship, quote-unquote, before it closed, because they hadn't quite figured all that stuff out yet. Because it seems to me in the pilot, right, that piece of metal that Jonathan has, that was going to serve the purpose of the octagonal disc, right? That was going to unlock the secrets to his origins, like whenever he, you know, it was going to call to him like the crystal in Superman the movie, something like that, right? So they planted the seeds there. But now, as Smallville often does, it sets these things up and it just kind of has to reposition everything because they have new ideas, and some of which are better, some of which are worse. But hey, that's how it works. When you have a TV show for 10 years, this stuff is going to happen, right? Although it is only the second season, so come on, guys. In the ship's heart, it looks a bit different than it did in the pilot, doesn't it, Lance?
Yes, it does. It looks a little bit more alien. It looks more... it has more details to it.
Exactly. Much like the ship got an upgrade from the pilot, so did the ship's heart here. And Clark says that the same symbols that are on this the ship's heart are the same symbols that are in the cave. So that's pretty much what confirms for Clark that, yeah, this is about me. And Jonathan says, we don't know anything about these people, Clark. I want you to be careful around them. And Clark's like, yeah, well, that's why I invited him over for dinner. It's like, oh, thanks, Clark. So Jonathan tells us the story of Joseph. All these biblical names. Joseph tells us the story of Numan and the Kawachi people, and how the visitor, the first visitor, fell from the sky and fell in love with the mother of their people, beginning the Kawachi tribe. And he left, but he promised he would return one day, much like Frosty the Snowman. That was 500 years ago. Or he promised that he would send another, excuse me. So there is that. But during all this, like, Clark and Kyle are really making eyes at each other this whole time, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thirsty children.
Kyle just told us all that, right?
And yes, she did.
And now Joseph is telling us again. I'm like, okay, like, just making sure we all know the story of Naaman here. But things get a little bit awkward when it's mentioned that Martha works for Lionel Luthor.
Yeah, no, Clark, keep your mouth shut.
And he's all excited about it, too. He's like, oh, hey, Mom, you can talk to Lionel. You're his executive assistant. Because he's like, you know Lionel Luthor? He's like, know her? She's his right-hand woman. It's like, no, Clark. No, read the situation.
I know, which is also, like, bad for Clark because it's not showing his good quarterback skills right now.
Quarterback
can't read
skills.
The situation quite
well. You know, he had to quit the team, and he hasn't played for another 2 years. So, but yes, he's more like a Brock Osweiler than a Peyton Manning in this situation.
Yes.
current events again.
I know, right?
But this is where Martha says the line about, well, it's not black and white, Clark. That's going to create thousands of desperately needed jobs in Smallville. So.
And I was like, oh, boy.
So now, so Clark and Kyla are at the in the loft there, and they're looking at the stars. Clark is actually using his telescope the way it was intended to be used for a change, which is nice.
Well, yeah, because you know, he doesn't have to look at Lana. He already has a girl up there.
Well, you know, she moved, so I mean, it's like useless at this point. I'm surprised he still has the thing up there.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't packed that thing away. But it's cool. Also I'm glad that he's interested in astronomy. And if you think he might be an alien, he probably would be, right? Because they talked about how there was a star that used to be there, and now it's gone.
Well, you know what? That's good, like, you know, mythology building, because, like, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, that star was Ra in Krypton's world. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in the know about, like, the destruction of Krypton, that means something to you. So well, yeah. That is a very subtle way to reference Superman, which is subtle ways to reference Superman are not the show's specialty. So well done, right? So they're getting pretty close, and
Kyla moves fast.
Yeah, they kind of start snuggling up. And then Lana shows up. It's like the worst possible time for her to show up. You know, this happens to Clark all the time. He's usually the guy walking in, like last week, right? He was walking in on Chloe and Ian, and he saw Ian kissing Lana in the hallway last week. And then, you know, Clark, many a time will Clark will walk in on Lana kissing somebody as well. So, you know, they got to spread the stuff around, right? It happens to Chloe too. Gosh,
it happens to her all the time,
bless her soul. So the reason Lana is, because first I was like, why is Lana here?
Yeah.
Right, other than for plot reasons to, you know, stir up the drama. But it turns out that Clark had called her about asking Henry Small, her father, to...
Question mark?
I know, right? That gets confirmed in this episode, by the way. But her her biological father, the social justice lawyer, I guess. Is that the best way to describe him? I don't know. I mean, he seems to be a political activist, lawyer, kind of pro bono guy, anti-corporation guy. So he's the perfect guy for this. So it actually does make sense, you know, that Clark would ask her about this. And she's like, oh, okay, well, sure. We're not exactly at the father-daughter favor stage yet. But yeah, I'll ask him.
She wasn't going to say no in this situation. I mean, let's be real.
Well, she's so just like taken aback by this. She's just, you know. Then we get our next scene with Lionel and Martha. And Lionel's, you know, working out, keeping his great physique. You know, everybody in the show is in such excellent shape. Probably and arguably Lionel's in the best shape of them all, right?
That's true.
Because notice that he's on the treadmill, but he has weights on his arms as well.
He does.
See, ankle weights, sure, but, you know, don't forget the wrist weights while you're working out, guys. That's key for that forearm strength and definition. But so he gets off the treadmill here. He's talking to Martha, and it turns out that they're investigating the quote-unquote accident at the construction site, because everyone had first assumed it was an accident, but now they're thinking it was some foul play would be involved because Joseph threatened the foreman before the accident. So, and, you know, we'll forego speculation on the wolf until the end.
Yes.
I think we can have some fun talking about what this episode tries to make us believe. But
yes.
You know, Martha says, oh, okay, so I planned a condolence call for you and the foreman's wife, and Lionel's like, good, good, good. That's good PR.
She's like, I didn't do it because it was good PR. I did it because it was the right thing to do.
Exactly. And then he starts to
hit on her.
Yeah. So this I know this is one of your favorite things in the show, right, Lance?
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. how much like Lionel likes Martha. It's so funny.
Yeah, because he tells her, sometimes talking to you it makes me think I'm talking to my wife. You're a lot like her, Martha. It's like, there you go.
And then, of course, like Lex shows up because he's there listening to this whole thing. It's hilarious.
And Lex knows his dad's game. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
It's again, these characters just pop it up, right? In the last scene, Clark and Kyler are having a close intimate moment and Lana pops up. And then here, like, Lionel's like trying to schmooze Martha a bit and then Lex pops up. Like, this guy's just popping up left and right.
Yeah, and then you notice how quickly Martha gets out of there, too.
She's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go. You know, Lionel's obviously like, ah, oh, come on, Lex. Cramp my style, bro.
Yep.
And then Lionel establishes, you know, for the sake of the audience again, I guess.
Yeah, there's some LexCorp exposition going on. Yeah,
my favorite thing, right? One of my favorite things in this show is the explanation between LexCorp and Luther Corp. And I had forgotten they actually make some attempt. They mentioned it when Lex was talking to Mayor Tate and Ryan a couple episodes back, and now Lionel and Lex are talking about it. But again, guys, this is like 8 to 10 episodes into the season. I felt like they completely forgot about it, and somebody said they probably read some reviews somewhere. I'm like, hey, what happened to LexCorp? I'm like, oh, crap, we totally forgot about that. We better write in some exposition. But they do, because I understand, like, back in the day, right, this 15 years ago, right, this show, people watched TV differently. You know, people would just pop in for an episode, pop out. TV was very episodic and much less serialized than it is today. So if you were just watching this show, right, and you're like, oh, Lex and Lionel Luther, they're the Luthers. They must own Luther Corp, right? This episode, it's very important to understand that Luther Corp and Lex Corp are separate, right, because they become at political odds here, or business odds here, I should say. So the I'm glad that the plot kind of forced them to once again establish the relationship between LexCorp and Luther Corp here.
Hey, that's an important thing.
Or always establish the relationship, everyone. Life lessons from Always Alone in the Smallville. But you know, Lionel offers Lex to go into this, you know, a business plaza with him, you know, as a partnership. And he chalks up to sentimentality, and Lex says sentimentality is synonymous with vulnerability. He's like, you're on your own, and you taught me that, right? That's what he tells Lionel. So I love that, right? I love those life lessons that Lionel has taught Lex over the years. But he turns him down. You know, he says no.
Yes.
So Clark and Kyler are in the caves here, and she's looking a lot like Tomb Raider, isn't she?
A little bit.
Which was a big deal back in the early 2000s, right?
Sure was. Lara Croft, Cradle of Life.
Cradle of Life, yeah. That's a great... people need to use that as a ridiculous sequel title, like a subtitle, right? Everybody used to say Electric Boogaloo, or what's the other one people say? Tokyo Drift, you know? I'm going to start saying in the Cradle of Life, and people are going to be like, what are you talking about? So Clark and Kyler are exploring the caves here, and we get more explanation about some of the symbols. And this is where Kyler tells us about Sageth, which is like, having not seen this episode in so long, and having, you know, one of the most iconic Smallville scenes burned into my brain is at the end of Talisman, basically the kind of pseudo sequel to this episode next season.
Yep.
And one of the last lines of it is, well, you say, Lance, I know it's one of your favorite lines. So
it is. He's like, what if the hero of the story is Sageth?
Yeah. And that's Lex. And it's like, okay, I don't know who messed up the pronunciation where, but I'm going to just call him Sageth now, just for the heck of it. Everyone else will call him Sageth, but I'll call him Sageth. So, yeah, Kyla talks about how Sageth was like her brother to Damon, and they became enemies. And Clark, like, you can tell that he's thinking about this, and he's like, who could this be? And then we move on to another painting, and he's like, who's that? He's like, well, that's the woman Damon is destined to be with. And she looks kind of like Kyla, right?
I'm surprised he didn't say Lana.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it looks a lot like Lana. There's this bracelet, right? And it's like this metal bracelet with a turquoise stone in it, which turquoise is a great great gift for the ladies out there, folks, if you're interested. They seem to like turquoise. So just saying, giving out some wisdom. Anyway, what was I saying? Some of you will get what I'm talking about. So they, the bracelet that is in the bracelet that is in the painting, Kyla is wearing, right? And she's like, oh, well, this was passed down to me through generations of my people. So clearly it's like, oh, man, she must be the one, right? It's on the wall. The writing is on the wall, so to speak, right? There's a couple tremors while this is going on. And she's like, oh, well, those are all the bulldozers. It's been happening all week. And then there's a cave-in, right? So Kyla falls, and Clark super speeds over, catches her. Then a rock falls on top of them, and then he kind of hunches over her, and the rock breaks.
And he couldn't have sped away. Like, he had enough time. Like, he was literally standing, and like, he could have moved over a couple of feet to avoid those rocks with his speed. But instead, he's just like, oh, let me crouch right over her and have it break on my back.
Well, the we had to reveal his secret to her, right? It's all for plot reasons, right? If, if this was, you know, Milana or Lex, that they would have gone about it in a different. They would have been knocked out. Is what would have happened, right? So no knockouts to keep Clark's secret this week, guys. People are just learning it this week.
Yep.
She's like, how did you do that? And he says, just adrenaline, I guess. I guess because you already said just lucky, I guess, in this episode, Clark. You had to move on to something else. By the way, classic early 2000s CGI for the rocks, am I right?
Yes.
I mean, I understand you're on a budget. You know, it's fine. But it is funny. When we have solid objects break apart in early Smallville, it's always very blatant CGI. She realizes that he's the mon here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, maybe this explains the things I've been feeling the last few days. Which, okay. Applause.
Uh-huh.
You've established, show, that what we're seeing here is taking place over a period of time. So thank you very much. Because, you know, last week we really ripped into the show for, like, how long are these days, you know? all this stuff happening over the course of 2 or 3 days. You know, so much happens in this episode. It better be happening over the course of a week or more, you know?
Yes,
so I'm glad they just established that there. But Clark's really like, he doesn't know how to handle this because he likes this girl, but now she knows the secret and it's all tied into his past. And it's an awkward thing, but she just, like you said, she likes to move fast. So she just kisses him and there we go. Then we cut to commercial.
And that's that.
So, and we come back from commercial and Patrick Cassidy is back. Henry Small. He got a name drop a couple weeks ago, name dropper this episode, and now we get to see him, and turns out he has decided to help Lana with the caves, and more importantly for Lana's story, he had the parental test, and parental test, is that what it's called?
Paternity test.
Parental test, come on, man, step your game up. Paternity test, and he is the father.
So.
Yeah,
da, 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 da,
yeah.
No, I'm surprised that was like not like that was so like lackluster of a reveal. He was like, "Oh yeah, I'm your father," and then she's like, "Really?" And then they just go to the next scene.
Yeah, like, it's like, just slow down, show. This is a big deal. You know, it's like, why even waste paying Patrick Cassidy to be in this episode, right?
Yeah,
she could have just been like, "Hey, I talked to Patrick, talked to Patrick Cassidy." I talked to Henry Small. Here's the, you know, subpoena for them to stop, right?
Simple phone call would have sufficed.
Yeah, exactly, right? I get you want him in the episode to have this scene right here, right? To have like, I am your father, right? Mm. But you're right, Lance. It the scene is 30 seconds long. It's like, you know, slow it up. You know, take your time with this big revelation and what it means and the repercussions of this, right? Because this is Lana's, like, this is her subplot, her main subplot for this entire season. The second season is, you know, her biological father, right?
Yep.
And it's so brushed over. So if you're going to go there, go there. But don't just make it like a footnote in this episode.
Yep, I agree.
Anyway, we get to the, we go back to the construction site. We get a lot of protesters, which is, again, maybe think about current events, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then grandfather's quote, this is the one that really nailed it in, like how current it is. He's like, anytime we've been asked to peacefully coexist, we've been killed or placed on reservations. It's like, oh, damn.
Ooh, yeah. It's like, yeah, because Martha has come out there to say, oh, well, Lionel wants to meet with you, Joseph. He just gets real with her there about that.
Yeah.
And then Henry Small shows up and he's like, oh, there's a subpoena. We have to stop construction, right? And then Sheriff Ethan shows up. And he's like, oh, I have a warrant for your arrest, Joseph. So much is going on. So much is going on in this one scene. It would be almost comical, right, if it wasn't so serious. But yeah, you're right, Lance, about the him bringing attention to the fact. Because much like us not talking about the pipeline would have been, you know, I felt like it was appropriate for us to at least bring it up. This episode, it was appropriate for it to at least bring up the fact of the marginalization of Native Americans, right? I mean, you cannot do a story about them without mentioning that.
Without bringing that up. Agreed.
And you have to walk that line so finely. So good on them for at least recognizing that. Because, you know, people say, oh, they could have handled it better. They could have done it. Well, okay, look, at least they handled it at all. Right, they could have just ignored it, which is, you know, part of the problem. The Native Americans have been ignored in our history, so you need to bring this kind of stuff up to just like, oh man, we got, you know, because I think, you know, not to give anything too much credit here, but it's like, you know what, younger people are watching the show, they might not be aware of the fact that these things have happened. This might be the first inclination to somebody just watching the CW back, and they're like, oh man, what is really?
Yeah.
Killed in reservations? What's this all about? Because, you know, you look at things, Thanksgiving season just passed, right? You see all these romanticized versions of, you know, Native Americans and pilgrims and all that stuff. And then you look at where we are today, you look at the pipeline situation. It's like, well, what a juxtaposition, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, man, this episode, it's so hard to discuss because there's all this ridiculous stuff going on, like the four people coming up to everybody at once with things. Yeah. And then at the same time, the same scene, you have like, hey, this is real stuff. So this is a difficult one to discuss. So I'm glad you're here with me, Lance, to get me through this. Also, I do like the slogan, save the cave. It's kind of catchy, I thought. It's a catchy slogan. So then Clark goes to Lex for help, as he always does, but he wants to get bail money to get Joseph out of jail. Lex declines, and he also calls him out for being so interested in the caves and if it has anything to do with Kylo, which is a very logical assumption, right?
Yes.
And it's good that Clark has that excuse, right? Because obviously, I mean, yeah, he probably was to be won over a little bit, but he's so passionate about it because this is his history. Like, he needs to find out more about these caves. Yeah. This is his only real, other than the ship, which isn't open. This is his only tie to his past.
And then I also like how, like, he finds out about Kylo because Martha told him. It's just like, damn it, Mom.
This is why you don't tell your parents about your personal lives, okay? More great life lessons from Always Home in the Smallville, guys. Seriously, if you're dating somebody, do not tell your parents about them until you reach a certain point, because then it gets complicated. You know, you just don't need to involve everybody's opinions, you know, until things are solid. So anyway, what are you doing, Martha? Like, come on. So Lex is like, hey, what happened to Lana? Because he's asking Clark about Kylo here. And Clark says, it's a completely different feeling when the person likes you back. So in a vacuum, that's a great line, right?
It is.
But that's so inaccurate to you, Clark, because you know, you've been with Chloe and Lana, and you've both liked each other, and everything. You know, extraneous circumstances have interfered. Yeah,
and also, like, a few days ago, like, when he's dazed and confused, like, the first thing he says is Lana. So,
so clearly not off his mind. But anyway, Clark decides, like, oh well, maybe I can convince you. So, you know, where is that going to lead, right? We'll get to that in a second. But meanwhile, Lana is having a Save the Cave rally at the Talon.
Yeah. This is an interesting scene with her and Chloe for a couple of different reasons. It's not a Bechdel test pass.
No, this episode fails the Bechdel test.
Yeah. But their conversation is interesting. Even though they're talking about Clark and how he's all into these caves and stuff, and then they bring up, of course, that he's doing it, you know, to them, their perspective is like, oh, he got into this because he met this girl. And then they start talking about Clark and the people that he chooses to open up to. And then Chloe has this line of, you know, maybe we should stop falling for guys who try to save the world. And it's just like, interesting. So it shows me that, like, you know, Chloe and Lana are actually, like, becoming friends, actually talking about these things. Also, is it an acknowledgement that they both like Clark? Or is for Lana, is she talking about both Whitney and Clark?
I thought they were talking about Whitney as well. Because they do mention that Chloe had found Lana's letter to Whitney on the table or something. Like, oh, come on.
A.K.A. snooping.
Yes.
Snooping.
That's her thing, though. Right? Investigative reporter. Yeah, but stay out of my personal business, okay? It's none of your damn business. And I appreciate if you stay in my personal affairs. Oh, man. Listen, guys, Ace Ventura is my favorite comedy of all time, and I quote it whenever possible. So that is what that is from. If you want to know what Les and I are laughing about that. It's just, I love, okay, tangent. I love just, it's such an inappropriate, like, what Dan Reno asks Ace Ventura for some gum, right? It's like, hey, you got any more of that gum? It's like, that's none of your damn business, and I appreciate if you stay out of my personal affairs. It's just like, because he's chewing all the gum because he had kissed Einhorn, who was a man, and it freaked him out. And that's why he's chewing all the gum. But it's just, Just such an overreaction to such a simple question. So whenever whenever Lance and I ask each other about our lives, that's usually what we say to each other. But anyway.
Pretty much.
Man. Oh, so good. Oh, yeah, but Lana does make the comment here that she tells Chloe that, you know, Whitney and her had been riding back and forth ever since he left, and they feel closer, yeah, closer than they had even been when they were dating, which people say all the time, which is not true. That is not true.
Yeah, that's complete crap. And also, time out. Okay, so she's like, and then she starts talking about like how, you know, how he hasn't like, you know, written back yet, and how she more like how she's written letters and he hasn't done anything else. And so to avoid spoilers for right now, Lana, you broke up with him. Why would he want to like continue writing you back?
Well, they had been writing back for a while though since then.
I can see why he would stop. Yeah. He's just like, eh.
Well, that's what Chloe says. Like, well, maybe he's just trying to move on.
Yeah.
There's a reason they bring up Whitney here. So
yes, there is. That's why I said to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, then we cut back to Clark and Lex, and Clark has decided to take Lex to the caves, right? Which is a big mistake, Clark.
Agreed.
Which is a big mistake.
And also, did he, like, get permission to go down there? Like, did he just bring in everybody in there all willy-nilly?
Well, I don't think they care. Like, Luther Corp doesn't care if you're underground over there. You know, because the caves are all connected somewhere else, you know?
I wasn't talking about Luther Corp. I was talking about, like Kyla and her grandfather, because they've already established they don't like the Luthers. So,
but Clark clearly, this exact situation shows that Clark doesn't think things through, right?
Yes.
He's like, oh, well, I thought it'd be fun. Because he just took Sageth down to the caves. Because he's so, Clark is just, he short-sighted, right? He's like, oh, okay, this guy's in jail. We need to get him out. I need Lex to help me. He won't help me. Okay, how can Lex help me? Oh, if I take him to the caves and show him, he'll help me. And that'll help me achieve my short-term goal. But long-term, Clark, you got to think these things through, man. Yeah. Now you've introduced,
gotta think the long game.
And look, right now, there's no reason for Clark to believe that Lex is going to be like a great enemy in the future, right? It's not as if he just got a prophecy that said one of your best friends become your greatest enemies.
Yes.
But no, that aside, it's just it's silly. But even if Lex was always going to be his best friend, right? And there was Lex was never going to turn evil, whatever. Clark is trying to keep a very big secret about himself and his connections to these caves and his alien past, right? You don't just be bringing people in. Don't be bringing in the guy who spent all last year investigating you and giving him a whole new mystery that's going to tie back to you, right? That is just poor forethought, right? And even then, okay, Lex is a little bit impressed, right? He's like, oh, this is more impressive than he uses some Luther historical reference, right?
Well, he even said, like, earlier, he's like, any culture that survived hundreds of years has my respect.
Right.
He said that earlier. So
he's a Luther. He appreciates history and art. But yeah, I am pretty sure he would not have done it if not for finding the octagonal slot in the wall, right?
Well, it's a common shape, Zach. Like, what's the problem?
It's a common shape. Yeah. Because Clark's like, I think this might be one of the most important things you've ever done, Lex. And Lex is like, yeah, I think you're right, when he's looking at the octagonal disc. So you know what he's thinking about. So then Joseph gets out of jail, and Kyla and Joseph are all, you know, very happy and thankful to Clark about it. And Martha stops by to apologize for Joseph being, quote, tangled up in the murder investigation. Mm-hmm. I love what Joseph says to her here. He says, people don't get tangled up in this kind of thing. They get set up. Like, that is so right. That is so right. Because that's an excuse a lot of people use, right? Like, oh, sorry to get you involved in this. It's like, he kind of got set up here. Although he didn't get set up, did he?
Did he?
Yeah. Save it to the end, right? But the reason they arrested Joseph is they found a bloody rag in his trash that had the foreman's blood on it. I believe that was the evidence that Sheriff Ethan said they had found.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a good line there by him. Yeah, they leave, just not accepting Martha's apology, nor should they, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or nor should he. But again, no spoilers. So then later on that evening, because it's like dark outside, it seems. But as we found out last week, being dark outside means nothing when it comes to this show. Maybe all the shutters are closed, the blinds, I don't know. But Chloe's working. Clark walks in. He says, "Hey, you have any news on Joseph or the caves?" And Chloe's like, "You know, a simple hello, Chloe, goes a long way."
For real.
Because, yeah, and I'm glad that she's self-aware. The show is self-aware of this. Chloe is aware of it as a character. Like, because I've been joking about, hey, man, people only go to Chloe when they need something, you know?
Yep.
And it's starting to wear on her, right? Especially, you know, when she sees Clark's in love with this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
So Chloe has done some investigating and gets the autopsy report of the foreman by her sources, right?
Yeah.
And she finds out that he has bite marks on him, teeth from bite marks from teeth. Of course, that's what a bite is. And yes. From a wolf, though, which is a red flag because wolves have been extinct in Smallville for about 90 years. That's what Chloe says. So she did a little more investigating, and she's like, "Don't kill the messenger." But I think that this guy's a shapeshifter, specifically a skinwalker. So that's a plus one for the episode title said in episode. Yes. Skinwalker.
Well, she says it like Kyla's tribe name translates to skinwalkers, and she said it with the plural. So maybe that's why Hulu got the title wrong.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. That's still an excuse, though. What's on the script? Show me a script of this episode and tell me what it says, okay? I don't care. I don't care if it's Relic or 1961. Just show me the script, right?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Clark thinks this is, like, ridiculous, which is, like, really, Clark? Like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And there is a good through line here about sometimes legends are true, right? Because
yes.
Many characters say this throughout the course of the episode. Because like, oh, that's just a legend. It's like, well, like a legend like you, so to speak. So that's mm-hmm. a good. I like that they keep coming back to that through different conversations, through different characters, through different situations. It just shows you that there's a kernel of truth in any legend, right? Basically, yeah. This is the Native American brand of shape shifting. They the skinwalkers can turn into animals, right? And this is actually a real. Real in quotation marks, right? But it's a real legend, right? This is not something that Smallville made up for this episode, as I'm saying. This is a legend that exists in the real world outside of Smallville. And there's an episode of the X-Files called Shapes about this very thing. And they never use the term skinwalker, which confused me because I was like, hey, on Smallville they call it skinwalkers. But I believe they call them Manitous. And I actually was on my friend Tony Black, who's going to be on the podcast here in a couple episodes. He has a podcast called The X-Cast, and they go through each and every episode of The X-Files, much like we go through each and every episode of Smallville here. It's kind of our sister podcast. And we had a lot of fun talking about that one because that is one of the worst episodes of The X-Files. Over there, they do a scale of 10. That's how they rate the episodes there. I gave it a 2 because it's awful. It's just so bad. And I'll link to it. I'll bring it back up on our social media so you guys can find it and listen to it. If this gets you on a werewolf kick and you want to hear more, you want to hear me talk more about werewolves, you can listen to that episode too. But Mark Snow does the music for the X-Files as well, so it's a lot of the same, like, ooh, you know, it's like, okay, Mark Snow, we get it. But anyway, that's the same thing. It's a Native American tribe. A member of the tribe turns into a wolf, causes some mayhem. And once again, since we're saving the spoilers to the end about the identity of the wolf here, I'll mm-hmm. save my final thoughts there on the end. It's actually an interesting reversal from what we find here. But
yes,
moving on, Martha, I guess, is walking to her car. I guess she's at, wait, I don't know where she is. Because
I have no idea where she is.
If you think about it, remember, the Luther Corp plant is now owned by LexCorp, so she's not there. This complex, I guess, is she at the construction site? I don't know. She's not in Metropolis. I assume she's not in Metropolis because the wolf attacks her.
Yep.
So it's like the wolf did not run to Metropolis. So I don't know where this is supposed to be. Whatever. She gets into the car, right? So she doesn't get scratched or bit or anything, right? The car, the wolf is just on the car, but she does the classic horror movie thing where she's so scared she drops.
Oh, the can't put my keys in the ignition trope.
That is such a ridiculous trope, man. Oh man. Oh gosh. So good.
R. Kelly would not be pleased by that.
She finally gets the keys in the ignition, though, and then she looks up. The wolf is gone.
Yep.
So it's like, is this like a ghost wolf, or what is this? Like, I don't know. The rules of this animal are kind of up in the air. Anyway, we cut to commercial, and we come back, and Clark has come home, and Jonathan is just having some fun with him about seeing this new girl. He's like, oh, so you do live here. So this is kind of a fun... It's kind of a fun father-son talk, I thought. Short but fun and just very real. He's like, I don't know, I like Kyla, but I think she's not telling me everything. And John's like, have a seat, son. So I like that. You know, I like that about them. And and he does make a point. He's like, well, Clark, you know more than anyone. People have their secrets. So Clark does get a bit hypocritical when people want to keep secrets from him, right?
Because,
I mean, he's keeping one of the biggest secrets ever.
It's true. However, in his defense, he is true when he said that, like, he was been more honest with Kyla than he has with any other person.
Other than Pete, who is no longer in this episode, by the way.
Hey, he's out racing dirt bikes.
He's like, well, that's cool with the caves and all, Clark, but I rented this dirt bike for a whole week and I'm going to use it.
Yep.
There we go. We figured it out, Lance. So Martha comes home and basically tells him that, hey, I was just attacked by a wolf. So it's like, uh-oh. Moving on to our next scene, because that's pretty much, again, these scenes should
that's
be longer.
Much all it was. Yeah.
These scenes should be long. Like, I don't know. Do you think this episode should have been like two parts?
Probably. It probably would have helped.
Because there's just so much story, you know, that's going on here. So I don't know. Maybe we could have gotten, again, these scenes are too short.
Yeah.
But then we go to our next scene at the Luther Mansion, and Lionel comes in. He has a great line to Lex. He says, have I done something in the recent past to offend you? And Lex says, there's so many ways I can answer
that
question.
Oh, that was so good.
Because, you know, Lionel has found out that Lex has bailed out Joseph Willowbrook. Because from Lionel's perspective, Joseph is the guy who killed his foreman and has shut down his construction so far. But then Lex, you know, Lex offers to take this problem off Lionel's hands. He tries to maneuver around it by, you know, just, oh, well, it makes good business sense, Dad. You know, I'll buy it from you dollar for dollar. You know, you won't lose any more profit. I'll take the bad PR. It's a win-win. And Lionel's like, no. No, something's not right here. You know, Lionel, yep. He sees through.
He's smart, yeah.
Lex is trying to, like, just get for whatever reason, Lex is trying to get that land. Because we had seen on Lex's laptop, which I love the things that Lex has on his laptop. It's always fun to see. What's Lex looking at on his laptop this week on Smallville? He was looking at a schematic of the octagonal disc. So that's what's on his mind here. But so Lionel turns him down to buy it. So Lex is thwarted there. The power struggle between them to control the caves continues on throughout the show, really. So then we cut to the Kent farm. Clark is doing some chores, like cleaning a saddle. But Kyla comes by, and she's surprisingly chipper. You know what? Let's just get to it, Lance. I don't want to keep not spoiling
it. Let's do it.
Kyla is the skinwalker, okay? Not Joseph. It's Kyla. I cannot remember, honestly, if I knew this all along by, like, reading spoilers or if it were just so obvious that I knew that it was going to be her. Like, do you remember what you thought back when you first saw this episode, Lance?
I knew it wasn't. I had a feeling that it was her. I don't know, because it would have been just too on the nose to make it the grandfather. So I was just like, I'm sure they're going for a twist. So the twist is it's going to be Kyla instead of Joseph.
Because, yeah, again, she just tried to kill his mom. And she's like, hey, Clark, what's up? You know? Mm-hmm. But this reminds me, and this is what I mentioned earlier with the X-Files episode Shapes. There's this whole, like, plot about, oh, who's the werewolf? And they think it's a young woman. They think it's a young woman is the werewolf, and it's not. It's a different guy. Right.
Okay.
So it's actually like reversed in the Smallville episode where they think it's a different guy and it's the young woman after all. So I don't know. I just, terrible episode of the X-Files. but me and Tony Black have a lot of fun talking about it. So if you want to have fun, listen to two guys talk about ridiculous genre television, check out that episode of the X-Cast, which I will post on our social media. But anyway, getting to this episode here, Clark asked her about skinwalkers, right? And she can tell she's kind of like taken aback by it. She's like, oh, you've been doing some research on me. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I've kind of told you everything about myself and trust you more than anyone. So, you know, can you throw me a freaking bone here, right? but then she mentions that the visitor from the stars brought some special green stones and they had strange effects on the people. And that's how the first skinwalkers began. So, what are your thoughts on kryptonite existing before Krypton exploded, Lance?
That's kind of shady. That's where like the mythology that they're trying to set up and everything. That's where we start to see some cracks because like it doesn't make any sense. They weren't there this entire time. They only came because Clark came into the world. So yeah, I don't understand what that's about.
Yeah, I mean when Krypton is breaking up, right? That's what creates kryptonite. Right.
Yes.
It's not like if Earth exploded and we went to another planet and like, oh my God, it's granite. Get that away from me. Right. It's the radiation caused by the destruction of Earth that would radiate the granite that would make it harmful to a human on another planet. Right. With following the Superman rules. So yeah, the fail. Right. And why did you have to tie it into a kryptonite? Right. Because
I mean,
skinwalkers and Manitou and Native American werewolves. That's a legend. That's a thing that's in the real world. Right.
Yeah. It could have opened up the current Smallville world, like for as far as like, you know, metahumans and powers and mysticism is concerned. Because at this time, like all we know of like people with abilities, they are affected by kryptonite. But it would have been nice for Clark to finally meet somebody that did not have a kryptonite effect. The first person that they meet that is not affected by kryptonite that has abilities is the Flash or Impulse.
Well, yeah, if you don't count all the witches.
Oh, yeah.
And there is Redux. They never explain what she was.
Well, it's...
But no, I totally get your point. Like when there's a traditional freak of the week, it's always going to be kryptonite. And this is something that they follow up on it more in season 7 with Zor-El, where he talks about how when I was on Earth, I studied the meteor rock's effects, and that's how he figures out that blue kryptonite takes away powers.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that stuff shouldn't exist. And then, you know, the only reason, and I think this is a comic book explanation, but the only reason there's different colors of kryptonite is because like kryptonite passed through like certain like nebula or something, right, in space, right? And that's what became different colors. And look, there's probably maybe two or three, I can buy two, maybe three colors of kryptonite, but to have all these different colors, like that's, there's
yeah,
going to be
the spectrum.
Yeah, that's an external catalyst that caused it to do that. Like black kryptonite has to be created with heat. You know, that's something they established on Smallville. So kryptonite existing before Krypton exploded? No, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But spurred on by this argument, that's why I wanted to just go ahead and get it out of the bag that, you know, Kyla's the shapeshifter, is spurred on by this argument, no doubt. She goes to the Luther Mansion, and once again, that infamous Luther Mansion security, this wolf gets by.
Yep.
Somehow gets inside. You know, I don't know how that works. But, and again, this scene more than any other is the one where I was like, is this music? Is this sound effects? What is this, right? Because you hear, like, all this scratching and all these like growls and all that, they're all around, right? I'm like, what? This is not like a ghost animal, right? This is a person that has changed into a wolf. So you're wolf now. You're not, you don't have the power to do all this crazy stuff. Anyway, Lionel gets scratched by the wolf and she's about to finish the job, I guess. And then Clark bursts in. How he knew to be here and go there, I don't know. I mean, she did run off, mention Lionel Luther controls you all, which sounded a lot like ADR to me.
A little
with
bit.
Like, oh, we better explain why everybody's there at the end. I feel like that's what they did. But he comes in, he's like, Joseph, stop! Because he thinks it's still Joseph at this point, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the wolf, they kind of have eye contact for a little bit. It's just kind of a weird moment. Especially when he thinks it's the grandpa, but it's really her. You know, anyway. But then, like, the sheriff's bust in with the guns. He's like, no, don't shoot! Clark, like, okay, teenager, we'll listen to you. That's fine. And then the wolf jumps out the window through that. Gonna have to replace that Veritas window, Lance.
Sure.
That stained glass non-Veritas symbol window they have. She jumps out the window. She jumps out the window. Clark follows her.
And it also must be cold in Smallville because he's wearing the heavy version of the red jacket.
Yeah. So this is a plus one for our blue shirt red jacket. It's not the red jacket. And it wasn't the red jacket in Vortex either. But yeah, it's supposed to be really cold because it's the heavy one and long sleeves too.
Uh-huh.
So he runs out there and he sees, you know, the jumping out the glass window has really cut up the werewolf, the skinwalker, and it's kind of laying in. Laying in the forest, okay?
Yep.
And it's actually very, like, I like the look of this scene. It's very, like, horror movie, lots of atmosphere, lots of trees and fog and all that. So it's pretty cool atmosphere they create here. But the skinwalker shifts back and it's Kyle. He's like, oh, Clark's like, oh, my God, it's you. So he takes off his jacket and wraps it around her. And he looks very Superman here because he's got the long-sleeve blue shirt on and the red jacket wrapped around her like a cape. So I'm like, yeah, this is very cool imagery here. The scene itself, it's okay, I guess.
It's kind of meh.
It's like a classic, I must talk to this character before they die, and they immediately die. Like
pretty much.
Like, that stained glass window really must have messed her up. She died instantly like that, huh?
I know.
And she kind of apologizes for
sort of
attacking Martha.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that she was only in just one episode. I don't know. I think if they were a little bit more forward-thinking and had a better plan for the caves and the mythology of them, I think that they could have probably... you know, brought her back or have her be a recurring character because she was just in the next town over.
Yeah, Granville. Yeah, because that's something Lana's like, I don't remember seeing you at school. It's like, oh, I go to Granville. I'm just here to help my grandfather.
Yeah.
Like, that's right.
Like, dodge a bullet there.
I forgot about that. She didn't even live in Smallville. She totally could have just gone back to Granville. Well, she's a murderer, so we got to think about that.
That's too.
I didn't think about that, yeah. So, you know, this is justice, right, for the foreman. Yeah, you know, I would have liked more explanation. Obviously, her grandfather didn't know she was doing this, right?
Yeah.
So he was not framed. It was actually Kyla is the one that, you know, that's the connection, because she brought the bloody rag back or something like that, right? Yeah. Although she was a wolf, I don't, you know, how did that happen?
I don't know how she did that.
Yeah. Maybe they really did frame him, you know, I don't know if that was meant to be ambiguous. You know, it kind of unintentionally is, right? And, yeah. I totally buy that they would frame him for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a better story if they do. So, yeah, like, explain why you wanted to kill this guy, right? I mean, like, that's not the answer. Attacking Martha and then going to kill Lionel, like, it's not going to solve any of these problems, right? So,
yeah.
Again, two-parter maybe you could have fleshed all this stuff out. Like you said, recurring character. And you say, oh, well, it's just a silly episode about the caves, right? Like, no, actually, this is huge. This is like, this is the caves. I cannot express to you guys, if you're watching Smallville the first time, the caves are like the most important thing this point forward up to we get the Fortress of Solitude spoilers.
it's
the stand-in Fortress of Solitude, right? And then, you know, I know even at the time people were thinking, oh man, maybe this version of Superman won't have a Fortress of Solitude. Maybe like this will be his Fortress of Solitude, right? Maybe the Kryptonian caves to do something different, because I know it's crazy for people to believe, right? But the Fortress of Solitude has not always been this ice palace that we got from Superman the movie. I mean, it's great, it's cool, I like it. Every other version of Superman likes it too, because they just copy and paste it. Even Supergirl, right? Looks that way. Obviously, Superman Returns, which was a pseudo sequel to Superman the movie. The comic books have adopted it. So there are many versions. And you know what? That's what a Man of Steel. I really like the Kryptonian technology they introduced there, because it was something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was that, you know, that you know those things you used to put your like face and hand in, like at Spencer's Gifts to make the impression, right? I don't even know what those are called, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That was the kind of technology they used, and I really liked that. And that's a really cool thing about Man of Steel. And he doesn't have a Fortress of Solitude. He had that ship, but I guess the ship crashed. So,
yeah.
But I guess Superman's dead anyway. So, spoilers. But that's what I'm saying. That would have been, I don't know, it would have been kind of obvious if Superman's always flying back to Smallville. Maybe, but he does it all the time anyway. So, as Clark Kent, he could at least disguise that he's there as Clark Kent. And then, you know, Lex Luthor couldn't trace his alpha waves up to up to the north.
Yeah.
But anyway, and again, if he had the belt buckle key, it would have been made so much. Whoever that is, kudos to you from the Krypton Side forums back in the day. Great idea. Great idea.
Yeah. God, now I'm going to be disappointed every time I see a Superman costume, because that's so cool.
Sorry I ruined that for you.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, Lance. You won't see a Superman costume on Smallville. So, hey-o! Well, you do see it, just Tom Welling doesn't wear it.
Yep.
Anyway, my point there is, I'm sure they knew what they were setting up here, right? I mean, so they should have planned accordingly and, like, give this episode some breathing room, right? That's what I'm saying. So, anyway, so Kyla dies. Doesn't even take her to the hospital. He's like, I have to get you to the hospital. She's like, no, stay with me. I'm like, well, I can stay with you there, but you're going to die here.
Yeah.
But she dies.
Hey, but it ends your streak of hospital visits.
That's why I'm shocked. I'm like, Lionel got attacked. You know, Martha got almost attacked. This woman died. Like, I was so expected. I was like, here we go. I'm ready for the hospital visit. We didn't get it. Shocking. Shocking, I say. Cut to the next day, or, you know, a day soon after. I'm not really sure, but I'm not really sure what's going on in this scene. Lance, maybe you can help me understand, because Lionel and Martha show up, right?
Yeah.
And then the site says it, we're shut down, sir. And it's Clark just standing there. And it's like,
yeah. And there's no other people there protesting.
No one else is there. It's like, well, carry on with your work. You know, it's just this one guy. I mean, what did he do? Like, break all the trucks, you know?
Who knows?
I mean, hey, that's a very Superman thing to do. You've seen what he's done to these trucks in Smallville's pilot, and then also in Man of Steel. So.
Man of Steel was like some major destruction there.
Clark, I get that the guy, you know, is a jerk, and he hit on the waitress, and he spilled some beer on your face, but you just destroyed the man's livelihood, right? But then you look at Superman 2... And then he gives that guy, like, a concussion, you know, and breaks his hand because he,
excuse me, sir, would you care to step outside?
Another line that I've never used in a real fight. But whenever I act like I'm going to fight someone, that's what I say. That's funny. I've never seen garbage eat garbage before. Also, whenever I always try... whenever someone says something about like, oh yeah, looking good or losing weight or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I've been working out. I do the things that they, you know, the thing that basically I just say and do the motions that Clark does at the end of Superman 2. This is our quotes that we use in everyday life episode. Oh, I sold on the Smallville. I've been working out. Anyway, see, oh, but, you know, Clark paid, in Superman 2, Clark paid the damages at Don's Diner to that guy. He, like, pulls out, like, $1,000 in cash. Oh, I'm terribly sorry about all the damages, sir. But I don't think he paid for Homeboy's truck in Man of Steel, because that Superman does not care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your building. He doesn't care about your truck, right? Anyway, all he cares about is Martha. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of Martha... Martha, see, tying it back, Lance. Martha and Lionel get out of, you know, his Cadillac Escalade, by the way. Did you notice that?
I did.
Such an early 2000s car. Lionel says to Martha, I'm indebted to your son for saving me last night, but I thought you would talk to him about this. She's like,
that
yes.
Was funny.
Yes, we did talk about it, and I agree with him. And then she goes off, you know, to stand with Clark, and he's like, are you ready to lose your job for this? And she's like, well, that's up to you.
That's up to you.
So good job, Martha, using that power that he's giving you. He's giving you the power and control, and you're using it. So then all the protesters show up, and I don't know why they're showing up here at this time. Are they late? Like, the Clark tell them to be there at 7, and they're there at 7:30? I'm not sure. They all show up at once. And Joseph gives Clark the bracelet that Kyla had, and he's like, this is for the true one in your life. You know, so it's like, oh, cool. So eventually down the road, Clark's gonna give this to Lois. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. You know, I am surprised he didn't go ahead and give it to Lionel like the next week. Hey, happy birthday or whatever, like some excuse to give her up. You know, two things. One, you're like, oh, he's gonna give it to Lois one day. And then you're thinking, oh, well, we'll never see Lois on this show. She'll never mind, right?
Yeah.
But then Lois does show up, and she's here for 6 seasons.
Yep.
And he still doesn't give it to her. It's like,
that's
come on.
Correct.
This prop has to be somewhere in the prop room. Could we not? I don't care if it was her, like, just putting it on, like, in their apartment once or something. Like, I don't know, right? But just, it's there. Do it. Like, pay it off, please. Anyway, one of those dangling plot threads that's never resolved. But anyway, Joseph says, hey, Kyla believed in you. I believe in you, too. Here you go. So they're all cool. Oh, but one last thing about that. Clark, you know, he's sad that he's like, well, I couldn't save her. And Joseph says, you did all you could. I'm like, did you?
No, he didn't. Not really.
It's kind of her fault for not letting you go to the hospital, but still. Anyway, so that's that. We don't see the bracelet again, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't recall seeing the bracelet again. Maybe I'll be surprised. But we do see Joseph again next season, so that's good. And again, I don't understand why people are showing up here when they do, because then Lex shows up. Again, it's like that other scene. Just everyone shows up at this place all at the same time. Lex shows up, and he gives Lionel the Historic Artifacts Amendment. That I guess Henry Small pushed through, that protects this land from any construction. It's basically making a historically significant area, and they're, you know, we have lots of national park, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to buy it from Luther Corp for 30 cents on the dollar. So Lex says, oh, you should have took my deal, Dad. And Lex Corp has now secured the contract to be the curator of the Kwatchy case. There's going to be some cheesy sign to be like, the Kwatchy case brought to you by Lex Corp, at the front. But Lionel calls him out on this again for finding something. He's like, you found something valuable there, and I'm going to find out what it is. Because he tells Lex, altruism is not in your blood, which is true. But my friends, we have a massive continuity fail here. And this is brought to us by @Padme, PAADME1. So @Padme1. So thanks.
Shout to you, Christina.
Thanks for bringing this up, because she did... pointed this out on Twitter. Lex is wearing his infamous driving glasses that he wears all in season 2. That's like his season 2 look. Don't know why, but it is.
And Lionel has the same tint also.
Yeah, it's like, look, this is like the season of sunglasses. Lionel is blind, so it makes sense. But I don't know why Lex is wearing these glasses as well. I guess Rosamond's like, hey, Glover's got some cool glasses. I want some cool glasses too.
Yep.
So in this scene here, you can clearly, like, there is a back and forth, reverse shot of Lionel and Lex talking, right? And the continuity is fine there. Lex is wearing his glasses. Lionel is wearing his glasses, right? There's no continuity breaks there. But then we cut to this, like, two shot of them from behind them. And Lex's glasses are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on. Continuity director, step your game up. It's very obvious. Like, did no one notice that? Like, hey,
apparently not.
Like, I get, like, look, I get how TV works. They don't shoot these all at once. right? There's like three cameras pointed at them because you'd see the cameras in the other shots, right? So they did one setup, they did their Lionel close-up, they did their Lex close-up, then they did their master shot, and it's the wide shot. But somehow in the master shot, they forgot to put Lex's stupid glasses on him. So it's a very, very evident continuity break. So anyway, I usually have a good eye for that. I don't know if I would have picked up on it or not. So once again, thank you, Christina, for pointing that out to us. So anyway, then after this, Lex goes down to the cave, and but hey, he's not wearing his glasses now, so so at least the continuity's preserved there. But he goes down to the cave, and he's looking around. He's got his flashlight, and he goes up to the wall, right, with the octagonal slot. And I remember when I first watched this, I so thought he was going to pull out the disc and put it in the wall there.
I did too. That would have been so cool.
Because at the time, because he was looking at the schematic, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's made a copy. Maybe he's found it. Like, you know, he's the one that had the disc. Lionel, he's heard about the disc, but he doesn't have it yet. Or does he?
Yeah.
Or does he, actually?
Uh-oh.
Because where does it turn up next? You'll find out soon on Always Hold On to Smallville. Stay tuned. But at the time, you think it's just an impression, and you thought Lex was going to pull out the slot, and like he's just interested in the caves because, oh man, this all ties together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he got it, and that would be so cool if he had it, and then who knows? Because at this point in Smallville, it's not the magical skeleton key that it becomes, or it does anything and everything. Opens things, transports you to parallel dimensions, you know, all kinds of stuff. Here, it just opens the spaceship, right? But he didn't pull it out. And now we know if he had pulled out and put it in there, like the wall would have opened up and become like the access panel, which I thought was way too far, by the way, when it went there. I thought the paintings are fine, the impressions are fine. The prophecies still never really made any sense. How did anyone know that stuff was gonna happen? That's why the whole time traveling Superman thing was I thought was really cool. But it's a cool scene because, you know, we pan up from Lex on the ground there to the Sagith painting, which is like, hey guy, oh, excuse me. Sageth painting.
Sageth.
hey, whoever says it first, that's the way we say it. Remember the Star Trek Next Generation panel we were at Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
With Vince Spider. So, tangent here, guys. Lance and I went to Star Trek Las Vegas, big Star Trek convention this year, and they had a Next Generation panel, and Brent Spiner was talking about how because Patrick Stewart is British, his name was Data, not Data.
Uh-huh.
Because they're reading through the script, and Patrick's like, Mr. Data. And Brent Spiner's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought my name was Data. And then Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, says, okay, here's the rule. Whoever says it first, that's the way we pronounce it.
I'm looking Data. At you, Chris Nolan. It's pronounced Ra's al Ghul. Ass.
You know, Arrow does walk a line on that and calls them both Ra's al Ghul and Ra's al Ghul. So there is that. I give him that. But anyway, pronunciation. So I'm going to follow the Gene Roddenberry rule. Whoever says it first is the way it's pronounced. I'm going to call him Sageth. You can keep calling him Sageth, but I'm going to call him Sageth. just for my own amusement, really, more than anything else. Because I'm sure it's supposed to be Sageth. And Sageth just sounds a lot cooler. But
it does sound cooler.
She said it first. So then we get our final scene of Clark and Lana in the loft, and I gotta say, guys, I this confused me because my memory failed me here. I thought for the longest time, oh, this is the scene where Clark and Lana are in the caves and she's crying, and they get Gary Jules' Mad World, which is a great song, and they talk about Whitney. I'm like, that's what I was waiting for in this episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, well, that's weird. Lex was just in the cave. Did they go back to the cave? That's weird. And then I'm like, no, that's the end of Visage. That's not the end of Skinwalker. So I was confused. But Lana comes by to, you know, just say, hey, Clark, I heard about Kyla. I'm sorry. And Clark's like, yeah, I'm sorry you guys didn't get to know each other very well. You were a lot alike. I'm like, no.
No, you weren't.
Stop it. Stop it, Clark. Stop it. Just like these episodes just show how strong those Lana blinders are for him. But
yeah, they are.
Anyway, she's still, you know, she's kind of upset, and Clark's like, hey, you all right? And she's like, no, actually, I'm not. You know, I like that. I felt like this, of all the scenes, because as you've heard and you will hear many times from me, I will complain about these Clark and Lana scenes, like in The Law, for example. This felt like one of the most genuine scenes between the two of them, right? They were just two people expressing condolences to each other. They were upset about something, and there was no drama or lies and secrets or silly talk going on, just two people consoling each other about sad situations. And then, you know, Kristen Kirk does a really good job here of crying and being upset, because you know, that's not an easy thing to do, but I thought her t- tears were genuine, right?
And I did too.
What she's upset about is Whitney's mom just called her, and apparently Whitney is missing in action. So that ties together what she was talking about earlier with Whitney hadn't written back to her in a while. It's because he's missing in action.
Yeah.
So, and that's our cliffhanger for this week. We'll get some resolution to that plot line next week in Visage.
Dad, you always told me to choose my battles wisely.
I hope I didn't use such an obvious cliche.
You should have taken my offer on this land.
What is this?
In light of the petition drive, the state has decided to exercise the Historic Artifacts Amendment and buy you out at 30 cents on the dollar. I'm sure you'll be happy to hear that LexCorp has secured the contract for the preservation of this entire area.
Altruism is not in your blood, Lex. Believe me. I don't know what you're up to, but you found something valuable in those caves, and whatever it is, I'll find it.
Skinwalker got an 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb, which is way too high. So I figured it out, by the way. You guys know how I'm always talking about, like, well, this is hard to judge because everything's from 6 to 9, right? If you go to Smallville's, like, quote-unquote homepage on IMDb, 7.5 out of 10 is the average rating of Smallville, right? So that's your aggregate rating, right? So, like, that's what you should judge everything else off of. So it's, like, if it's 7.5, give or take, it's an average episode. If it's lower than that, it's a bad episode. And if it's higher than that, it's a good episode. Again, according to the voters on IMDb, okay? So be that as it may. 8.4? Really?
That's pretty high.
We'll save our thoughts for a second. But Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage, he gave it a 2 out of 5, which is pretty low. I don't know. So he had this to say. He has a very long review of this, and I recommend you all read it, and I'll link to it on social media, as I always do. But he says, none of the characters of Smallville really made any sort of character development in this episode, save their understanding of Native American culture, questionable at best. And we have a freak of the week, as well as ignored ramifications from last week to pollute the waters. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the mid-season lull, thus 2 of 5. So, by the way, I'm glad that's what he's talking about there, the repercussions from last week. Jonathan's leg is not broken in this episode, is it, Lance?
No, it's not.
Yeah. So I remember we see him sitting at the table.
And he's standing in the storm cellar.
Good. I was gonna say I almost thought, oh, we see him sitting at dinner and we see him sitting at the kitchen table doing like the finances. It's like did they really just not show us his leg? But he was standing in the storm cellar, wasn't he? So
yep, he was.
Way to go, show. So 2 out of 5 for him. So Lance, out of the letter scale, what would you grade Skinwalker?
Well, you know, I had to think about this because, you know, initially when I requested this episode, like I was just thinking back to like, you know, high school. And then the first time that I actually like kind of live tweeted this a couple of years ago when it was on at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. This was the first one, right? That you live tweeted?
This was the first one I live tweeted. Yeah. When it was on TNT. And like, I remember, you know, not liking the episode, but primarily on the heels of like our inside joke and it being 2 o'clock in the morning and just like the whole like backstory behind it. But then watching it now for the podcast purposes, and you know, it was better than I gave it credit for, but it's still not good overall. Not a great episode. It's not 8.4. I won't get if it's not that. So I think I'll give it a, like a C+.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I was considering a B-.
I was too.
But I think I'm going to settle on C+ as well for all the things that we've discussed already. I mean, some of the ideas are good. Some of the execution is weak. Some of the ideas aren't good. Yeah. And then the execution is weak on those as well. So interesting stuff here. I mean, this is like, we cannot understate how important this is to the greater Smallville mythology Smallville Superman mythology. And I do wonder if, you know, we'll ever get anything like this in the comics one day. Because the comics, I mean, look, we were talking about Superman the movie. It influenced the comics down the road. I wonder if, you know, these things from Smallville. Because eventually, comic books writers, they run out of ideas. They run out of stuff to talk about, right? So I'm sure at some point they'll have some story about Kryptonians on Earth. And they might, you know, reference back some of the stuff. I don't know, actually, now that I think about it, I don't know how any of the rights work like that. Like, like, would they have to pay the people of Smallville if they wanted to use, like, the, you know, Kawachi Cave, so to speak? But I wouldn't be surprised if down the road somewhere, and maybe they have already. I don't pretend to be some comic book aficionado to the degree of many Superman fans out there. So I don't. Maybe there is stuff like this in the comic books already. But these are interesting concepts. I mean, Ancient Aliens alone has proved how popular they are among people. Yeah, we'll be talking about the Kawachi Caves for a long time to come on this podcast.
Yep.
So then our final order of business, Lance, is our series tally board. We have a +1 for the episode title, said in an episode. That brings us to 10, because the word skinwalker or skinwalkers is said many times. So that brings us to 10. And then we have a +1 for the blue shirt, red jacket. That brings us to 3. And that's it, actually. Shocked there was no chaos to keep Clark's secret. I'm shocked there was no hospital visits, Anyway. And then we have our Bechdel test fail, because the only scene we really have between two women is Lana and Chloe talking. And yes, they talk about other stuff, but it's mainly about Clark. So.
It was mainly about Clark. And it was, and the sad thing is, it was an actual good conversation. Like, good things came out of it. But, you know.
Yeah. Fail. And it was about Chloe snooping on Lana's letter to her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. So. Double fail.
Not a good look, Chloe. I wasn't snooping, which is laying there. Although I will say, remember in, I believe it was Nocturne, where she just leaves that note that Byron wrote her out on the counter, and that's how Lex finds it. So,
oh yeah,
I can't really. You know, we're being kind of hard on Chloe. I can't entirely fault her. Lana does just leave that stuff just sitting around. So
it's true.
Anyway, that's gonna do it for our discussion on Skinwalker here. Yeah, so lots of angles. I hope we handled it well, Lance. I don't know. I did want to mention all the serious current event stuff going on off the top, and you know, that's life, man. That's what's going on today. So hey, you know, we have fun with our podcast here. It's our nice little sandbox, as they say. But there's a whole world out there, stuff going on. So and I like to stay informed about it, and you guys should too, you know. So if, like I said, if you're interested in learning more about the Dakota Access Pipeline, I highly recommend going to the Young Turks YouTube page, searching Dakota Access Pipeline, check it out. That way you can be informed of what's going on, and hopefully there's some compromise can be found. Unfortunately, unlike this episode, and everything can have a happy ending, right, Lance?
It's true.
Yeah. Again, like, I'm sure a lot of you guys didn't expect me to get real with it here, but you know, this is important stuff that's going on in the world around us, and I felt like it should be addressed, because this episode, like, it has lots of lines that really just like are exactly what's going on right now.
Exactly. Like it hits right to the core of the real life current events.
Right. And it would just be negligent to discuss something like this without discussing, you know, real world examples and real world examples that are going on right now. So
yeah.
Anyway, I just felt it was appropriate to discuss it, and you know, hopefully you guys learned something from it as well. So
indeed.
So Lance, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Sir Lance Laster. You can find me on Instagram, too, at the same name, at Sir Lance Laster. And then also later this year, you can catch me on an episode of Madam Secretary.
That's right.
The 12th episode.
We didn't even talk about that. When is that episode air? Do you know?
I'm not sure when it airs. I just know it's the 12th episode of this season. So I think they're about to go on their break either this week or after the next. And then that'll be like the 7th or 8th episode. So, you know, 4 episodes after that.
All right, cool. We will back. When that episode airs, we will keep an eye out for it. We will promote it on the social media, and and we will talk about it. Next time you're on the show, we'll talk about your experience on the show. That way people can have more of a frame of reference to what you're talking about. But Lance is a musician, and so he was hired to be on the show for his music prowess, right, Lance?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
So anyway, we'll save the details for next time. But very exciting that Lance is going to make it on Madam Secretary, which I kept getting confused with The Good Wife. And I was like, so how was The Good Wife? I'm like, no, Madam Secretary. It's like Commander-in-Chief? No, that was Gina Davis. Anyway, yeah, so definitely keep us posted on that, because we'll all be keeping an eye out for you. Set your DVRs, folks. And as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach, at MoreonZach. And as for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at AlwaysHoldOnToSmallville, or send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com. And by the way, guys, our next episode is going to be a special mailbag episode, because this was the hiatus of Smallville. This is the winter break that took place after this episode on Smallville. So Smallville took a break, so we're not taking a break from the podcast, but we are going to take a break from our episode coverage. So next week, you guys have been sending us a lot of emails, reviews, messages over the last several weeks, and I wanted to I know in the first season we kind of incorporated them into the episodes, but you know that these episodes are so long as it is, right? I didn't want to have like 2.5 hour episodes. So yeah, if you guys want to send us any kind of feedback, leave us an iTunes review. Please do leave us an iTunes review, by the way. Those are much appreciated. But any emails you want to send us, messages on Twitter, anything like that, we're gonna open up the mailbag next week on Always Holding On to Smallville, and then we'll be back in a couple weeks talking about Visage. So until then, folks, always hold on to Smallville.